Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
On Tuesday, October 13th, KBOO hosted a virtual debate between the two candidates vying for Portland City Commission Position 4. They are the incumbent, Chloe Udaly, and her opponent, Mingus Mapps. Chloe Udaly is the current Portland City Commissioner for Position 4. She has worked as a small business owner and nonprofit administrator. She's also served on the Multnomah County Cultural Coalition and Portland Public Schools District Parent Involvement Committee. Mingus Mapps is a community organizer who has worked as a program coordinator and supervisor for the City of Portland Crime Prevention Program. He is a professor and has a PhD in government from Cornell University. The debate was moderated by KBOO's own Annette Newell. If you hear a bell, that was to let candidates know their time was up. Let's listen.
We're going to start with a very important topic to both of you, police reform. Chloe, you know, you're supporting reductions to the police budget right now. Why is that, and what should that money be spent on?
Sure. Well, you know, we began the process of divesting in our police bureau, which gets the majority of our general funds every year, and investing in community in June. This is going to be an ongoing conversation, and it's is being led and should be led by Black community leaders and advocates. So since that budget vote, I've been working with what's the group that's now become Reimagine Oregon, which is a Black-led initiative detailing the various ways that state, regional, and local governments can advance progressive policy change and need to invest in community. I think it's clear that our models of public safety and policing are outdated, and they're not working. And people are suffering, and BIPOC communities, people experiencing mental illness and disabilities, and people experiencing homelessness are really suffering the consequence of disparate impacts of the way that we police. I support further reductions, but I support that only if we are able to stand up new structures and systems to do the work that we're taking away from police. For instance, Portland Street Response is a great example of, you know, something we should have never left up to police, which is intervening with people who are experiencing mental health crises on the street. I'm looking at what it would take to take traffic enforcement out of the police bureau and put it under PBOT. Just another example of ways in which we can take a less punitive approach and a more community-based approach to create a safer and more just city for everyone.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Now, Mingus, you're saying you want to reform not just the police, but city government in general in your platform. Yeah. What's that going to look like?
Oh my God, that will look like a reimagining of City Hall. Portland has a unique form of government, what we call a commission form of government. It means that each member of council not only votes on policy issues or budgets, they are also the day-to-day chief operating officer for at least one city bureau. This is one of the reasons why Portland actually is so dysfunctional. There's no other city in America that uses this approach. Most other cities abandoned this approach to government about 100 years ago. What we would do is what every other city our size does. We would hire a city manager who's charged with coordinating services across city bureaus. That way, we could spend our dollars more effectively and focus our resources more effectively. The other set of changes I want to make to how City Hall works include increasing the number of seats on City Council. Right now, we have four members of City Council. I think we need more, and I want to change the way we fill those seats. Right now, every member of City Council runs at large, which means I run everywhere from, you know, the border of Gresham out to the West Hills. I think that we should move to a new system of neighborhood-based electoral districts. That way, voices from every corner of the city are represented down in City Hall chambers.
Mm-hmm. Both of you are listing racial justice as a priority in this election. Mingus, you say you want to build a public safety system that's free of racism. What would you do to achieve that goal?
Oh, sure. Well, the first thing that we need to do is state that as a policy, which has to pervade everything that we do in the public safety realm. So we need to have a zero tolerance policy for racism in policing. We need to abandon policies that focus on practices the way we know are bad, things like chokeholds. I also want to basically get the police out of the business of policing poverty. Right now, about half of our 911 calls basically come down to policing someone who's houseless or poor, who's having a crisis on the streets. If we could do that, we would dramatically decrease the amount of tension that we have between civilians and our armed police officers. And finally, I think, and most importantly, I think one of the things that we need to do is set up an independent system of police review. That way, when things do go wrong in the public safety realm, Portlanders can have a mechanism that we have faith in for holding our police officers accountable.
Okay, let's turn to Chloe now. What have you done to make racial justice a priority in Portland? And what would you do if you're reelected?
Sure, thanks for the question, Annette. At first, I'd just like to quickly say, I'm glad to hear that my opponent and I are so aligned on policing issues. In fact, his entire platform is made up of things that City Council has already done or are in the process of doing. But he's also endorsed by the police union, which is our biggest impediment to transforming our police system in Portland and around the country. So I'm deeply skeptical of his ability to deliver on true reform. As far as my work around racial justice, you know, whether it's in civic life or PBOT or the housing policies we've developed, we always center the people who are the least well-served and the most negatively impacted by whatever system it is we're trying to improve or correct. And that is often, almost always, BIPOC community members. So for instance, every time we do a major project at PBOT, we ask the question, how will this advance our racial equity goals? When we were developing fair access and renting policy, we were trying to solve for housing discrimination in the ways that income and credit score and prior convictions can become proxies for race. And even with the Roseland Project, which is a project to get public transit unstuck from congestion to make transit a more reliable and viable transportation option for people across the city, the way we planned that project was based on how many jobs a single working Black mom in East Portland, how many additional jobs would she be able to access on faster transportation? Because commute time is the biggest determinant of whether a household can lift themselves up out of poverty.
Mm-hmm. If I can actually use one of my rebuttals here.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure, and I'll just make this quick. I know I only have a couple of seconds. I want to say that I was endorsed by the police bureau, probably for many of the same reasons that Commissioner Udaly's bureau hired me to help lead the Office of Civic Life. I have a long history of helping bring community policing to East Portland, and I am proud of the work that I did to bring crime prevention to every corner of the city when I worked for the Office of Civic Life. I do think there is a difference in our approaches. I think that the Office of Civic Life has been very much gutted under Commissioner Udaly's leadership. Doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement and evolution there. But when I'm in office, I think one of the things I'll try to do is to make crime prevention and public safety a mechanism that actually helps people solve their public safety problems right now. I can't tell you how many times a day I talk to Portlanders who tell me, you know, Mengus, someone literally shot the front door of my building last night. Or, you know, I talked to business owners who tell me that they were armed with guns and the cops don't come to respond to problems like that anymore. I think that's outrageous. And when I'm on city council, I will make sure that we have responses and programs to address everyday public safety problems like that.
Okay. We have a question right now from KBOO listener Ray Chapman Wilson. He's asking, what can be done regarding white supremacists seemingly gaining protection and support from Portland police during violent clashes? Mingus?
Sure. Well, we're on radio, so folks may not know that I'm an African-American man. I'm the only candidate in this race who knows what it's like to live in Portland at a time when, you know, racist groups come through town, you know, seemingly every weekend during the summer. You know, there's a new sad season in Portland for families of color where you keep your kids at home because the Proud Boys are marching through town. When I said earlier, one of the key ways to reform our public safety system is to have a zero tolerance for racism. This is one of the examples I mean and need. We must have zero tolerance for people who come and spread hate and violence in our city. And when I'm on city council, I will enforce this principle. It's important to both me as a person and to our city as a community and my children.
Okay, well, next, we'd like to talk to you about your campaign so far and your track records. Chloe, in your time in office, you tried to reform Portland's system of neighborhood associations, which enjoy a special status in city government. You wanted to expand the kinds of organizations that could be included in that status, and you faced some criticism as a result. Could you talk about that proposal and whether you're still trying to implement that type of reform?
Sure. So what you're talking about is code change. And I invite anyone who wants to learn more about that to visit the website, changethecodepdx.org. It's a very misunderstood effort for many reasons, including the spread of misinformation by opponents, including my opponent in this race. Our neighborhood association network was created decades ago to give neighborhoods a voice in city policymaking because our city was doing things that were harming neighborhoods. And I deeply respect the long history they have of fighting back against City Hall. They, for instance, stopping the Mount Hood Freeway and more recently saving the giant sequoias. They are essentially mutual benefit associations that do really great work in their respective neighborhoods. The problem is civic life's code dictates how every bureau engages with the public. So when we have projects or policies or programs we want feedback on, we only go to the neighborhood associations. And over the last couple of decades, membership has decreased. Membership is not reflective of the full diversity of our community, and therefore, we're not hearing from everyone we need to hear from, which means that we're not always developing the best policy we could or serving the people who are least well served. I'm gonna admit I was very naive when I entered this conversation. I really didn't realize how controversial it would be because it seemed so obvious to me that we have to recognize the different ways in which people identify and organize, whether it is by race, ethnicity, culture, being a renter, having a disability, etc. I do not understand the threat that people perceive from this, and it's a conversation that I plan on continuing whether I have the bureau or not. Thank you.
Okay. Mingus, you received an endorsement from the Portland Police Association, which is the union for Portland's police force, which has been mentioned a couple of times by your opponent tonight. How did that endorsement actually come about? And how do you reconcile that endorsement with your plans for police reform?
Oh, sure. How it came about was really straightforward. Commissioner Udaly and I were both invited to speak to the police union's endorsement board. We both went in on the same day. I believe Commissioner Udaly went in the morning and I went in later in the afternoon. At the end of that meeting, they endorsed me and they didn't endorse Commissioner Udaly. I suspect that they endorsed me because I have a long history of working on public safety issues here in Portland. As I've mentioned before, I help keep community policing alive and Portland, especially in the Park Rose neighborhood. I'm well known for folks who are in the crime prevention community. So if you want to come together as a neighborhood to try to figure out what to do with, you know, illegal dumping at the corner or, you know, the armed robberies that continually happen at the shop on the business strip, you know, our crime prevention coordinators can help you solve that problem. I suspect they also endorsed me because I'm a Black man. And frankly, a lot of the conversations that we're having right now about policing are about how a majority white city goes about policing Black men. And I think that Portland and Oregon has been struggling with that issue for 150 years, and we have not gotten it right in 150 years. And I think that if you want to get it right, it's incredibly important that you have Black men at the table. And I think that's something they saw too.
Yeah, I'd like a rebuttal. Thank you. Sure. Well, I've taken a pledge to never accept money from the police union, and I have never sought their endorsement. You take these endorsements.
Why were you at the endorsement meeting?
I'm entitled to speak without interruption, so thank you. You go to these endorsement meetings because it's seen as very disrespectful not to. And you also go because it's an opportunity, a rare opportunity, to talk to not just union leadership, but rank and file officers. So despite the fact that Daryl Turner was extremely combative with me in that meeting, I did manage to have some good side conversations with some of our officers. I will say that the police union would never endorse someone that was a threat to their agenda or power. look at our endorsements. My opponent is endorsed not just by the police union, but the landlord lobby and Portland Business Association, powerful special interests that have held way too much sway over city council for decades and lost their power, the power of three votes on city council when I was elected. And then look at my endorsements. Thank you.
Okay. Mingus, we wanted to ask you also for your thoughts about the code change issue that Chloe raised. What did you think about that?
I think that's a really sad and tragic moment in Portland history. I don't understand why that happened. I don't think it needed to happen. I think, like most Portlanders, neighborhood associations play an important part of our civic culture and our local politics. The commissioners claim that somehow the only folks that the city council is prepared to listen to are members of neighborhood associations. Just strikes me as being bizarre. And it's also just not how democracy works. I think if you're on city council, one of your obligations is to listen to and interact with all of your constituents. And that's certainly the culture and the kind of leadership that I will bring to city council. I will meet with people, even if they disagree with me, and maybe even especially if they disagree with me, very much like the police union endorsement thing. I disagree with the police union on almost everything, but I still think it's incredibly important to talk to them. And I think that Commissioner Udaly may think that too, because she went to the endorsement meeting. So I kind of don't understand the argument that's being made there. So on the neighborhood association thing, I think that they are incredibly important. They are not a perfect system, but as the commissioner in charge of neighborhood associations, it's your first obligation to help neighborhood associations evolve and rise to the moment. Instead, I would argue that Commissioner Udaly very much undermined that important and classic Portland institution. When I'm on city council, should folks choose to send me there, I will reinvent neighborhood associations for the 21st century. I'll help them do outreach. I'll help them become more diverse. I'll make sure that they trade best practices so that every neighborhood association could get better in its own way.
Okay, we have another question.
I'd like a rebuttal. Thank you. Well, the one thing that Mr. Mapstra said that I'm sure is true is I don't understand. So let me explain it to you.
Okay.
Civic life code dictates how all other city bureaus do civic engagement. Neighborhood associations have special recognition in our system. So that means that when bureaus across the city conduct civic engagement, they notify neighborhood coalitions and neighborhood associations, and they're not required to notify anyone else. I don't think it's best practice to leave that decision up to bureaus to decide case by case. I believe expanding those recognized groups to include groups that are identity or issue-based is critical. And I did nothing to undermine or change neighborhood associations. In fact, nothing would have changed for them, except they would have to share the table and pass the mic to people that have been left out of our decision-making process for decades.
We have to move on to the next question, I'm afraid. Well, actually, KBOO did a survey of listeners this election season, and the climate crisis was an issue that was consistently brought up. How do you think the city should address climate change, Mingus?
Sure. Well, you know, I think we have to focus on a couple of priorities, things like reducing our use of carbon, reducing our carbon emissions. And we can do that through raising energy efficiency standards on new buildings. I think that we can also more quickly convert our city fleets to green fuels. We need to emphasize renewable energy sources. As we were talking before, public transportation is key here. That's where about 40% of our carbon pollutions come from. And then really focusing in on green infrastructure. So I'm the only candidate in this race who's always been against the expansion of the Rose Quarter Freeway. And I also oppose the traffic down at the Zenith Petroleum terminals. And I think if we follow through with those steps, we can make huge progress. I'll also point out that moving towards a city a manager form of government would be incredibly helpful here. Right now, every bureau in the city takes an ad hoc approach to reducing our carbon emissions and becoming more green. mean, I think that we need an organized, coordinated, citywide approach to that.
Okay, Chloe, you mentioned the climate crisis when you were talking about transportation. What about some other ideas that could help address the climate change problem?
Sure. I mean, I just want to start by clarifying the record. I never supported the Rose Lane corridor, but as the transportation commissioner, I did have to represent the interests of the city and the community in that conversation. And I think it was worth trying to fight for a better project. And when it finally became clear that ODOT was really just going through the motions and they weren't willing to alter the project, I led the city in withdrawing support for that project. Gosh, there's so many things. I mean, like I mentioned, we need to dramatically reduce carbon emissions from our transportation sector. And that it will involve everything from converting TriMet's fleet to electric buses, which is a very long-term conversation, building out infrastructure to support people transitioning from internal combustion engines to electric vehicles. I mean, in 2017, I helped write what was then the most ambitious renewables resolution in the country, getting us to 100% renewables by 2050. We now know that timeline is needs to be accelerated because we have probably less than a decade to avert climate catastrophe. We can make all the changes that we want to make at the local level, but the fact remains that climate change doesn't recognize jurisdictional boundaries. So what I'm focused on right now is really working with leaders across the region and at the state and federal level, because we can't solve for climate change all by ourselves, but we can set the standard for cities across the country. And I'm pretty competitive when it comes to pushing progressive policy.
Okay, we have a question that came in from listener Dawn Smallman. She has a question for Mr. Mapps. Will Mr. Mapps pledge to return the monetary contribution from the police union on the basis that it could compromise how he handles police reform during the contract negotiations, should he be voted into office?
Sure. Well, thank you for that important question. And that's one of the challenging things or complicated things about this piece is, you know, the police union endorsed me, I didn't endorse them. And their contribution to me was not a cash contribution. It was an in-kind contribution. Basically, they decided that they sent out a mailer to their to people on their mailing list saying, you know, we think Mingus is an interesting guy and you should take a look at him. So I can't really give the dollars back. So no. And I also, I would say that there is I kind of push back on the premise of the question there. I do come to this race with integrity. I'm in this race because I'm a public servant and I'm a Black man. After 50 years of living in this skin, there's no way that an endorsement and an in-kind donation will somehow negate my experience or negate my obligation to, you know, make a world that's better for my children and all of our children.
I'd like a rebuttal.
Sure, go ahead.
I would never accept an endorsement or a contribution from a person or an organization that I was politically or philosophically opposed to. Your endorsements speak volumes about who you are. And so I absolutely reject my opponent's assertion that that endorsement isn't meaningful. Again, the police union would never endorse someone who's a threat to their agenda or to their power. And he could absolutely give that money back. It's true, it was a $15,000 in-kind, I think it was for printing, but he could absolutely give them that money and reject their endorsement if he wanted to. And he clearly doesn't. And I'll just end by saying that, you know, my opponent has talked about his employment in my bureau a lot and made a lot of spurious claims about both his level of responsibility and his achievement in the Bureau, which opens the door for me to talk about it. One of the challenges we had with Mr. Mapps was that he actually refused to do the work he was hired to, which was to advance that transition from crime prevention to public safety. or to community safety, and wasn't willing or able to coach the people he was supervising or neighborhood associations about implicit bias, claiming that our crime prevention program, an outdated 1970s National Sheriff Association model, wasn't racist. So I do not buy anything he's saying about that endorsement or his very old school policing approach.
Okay.
Can I rebut there?
Yeah, yes, go ahead. You can have your rebuttal time. Sure.
I'll just say, I think the record is very clear that I was let go from the Office of Civic Life after I refused to retaliate against an employee who was out of favor in the Udaley regime. And I encourage her, I would release Commissioner Udaley to release all the sort of employment records and complaints, both around my case and the hundreds of other cases that are boiling over in the Office of Civic Life, to just let the air clear. I think it is truly time for a cleaning of the air that's been happening in Commissioner Udaley's troubled and frankly vaguely corrupt Office of Civic Life.
I would, first of all, I can't release documents on.
But you can talk about them, apparently.
I can't release documents on personnel issues or investigations, but Mr. Mapps has abrogated his right to confidentiality by talking about his employment and his dismissal over and over again. And in fact, your records have been released. So I'm also looking forward to clearing the air, because Mr. Mapps and many of his supporters have been spreading misinformation about Civic Life, about code change, and about his hiring and firing. He was not recruited. I had nothing to do with his. You applied for a job, Mingus.
I was invited to apply. That's not even the two times your office came to me to ask to work for your regime.
After you, my regime. Okay.
Yeah.
After you were fired from your last job.
I think we need to get back to the issues. Let's get back to the issues, please. We have another question that came in. If November brings a second term for Trump, what steps would you be willing to take to protect our city from federal overreach? And do you think that that's a threat, Chloe?
Yeah, it's absolutely a threat. I mean, I call Election Day 2016 the best and worst night of my life. I would trade my win 1,000 times over to not have Donald Trump be the president of the United States, which are still clearly hard words for me to pronounce or get out of my mouth. My first conversation with then Mayor-elect Wheeler was about his position on our sanctuary city policy. And I was very relieved to hear that he was as strongly supportive as I was. Who knew that instead of building on the progressive change that the Obama administration had delivered in many arenas, that we would just be forced into a defensive position trying to protect some of the most vulnerable members of our community from attack and persecution by our federal administration. I think some of your listeners know about the fence that the feds put up in our public right-of-way, and that I issued a letter and have been assessing a fine on the federal government for their incursion into our space. Some people love that act, and some people thought it was trivial. But this conversation is so much bigger than a fence or a bike lane. It's really about, where do the powers of the federal government end and where do ours begin? And that is absolutely critical. So the city of Portland has been engaged in multiple lawsuits against the federal government over the last 4 years. We will continue to fight for local power and to protect our community members in any way that we have available to us.
Okay. And Mingus, you know, your thoughts. President Trump has obviously made Portland a central campaign issue. He's mentioned our city over and over again. If he is reelected, what steps do you think the city council needs to take?
Well, I think cooperation between the city and the feds, especially on public safety issues, is just off the table. So I want to see no cooperation or interaction with ICE. I don't want to see our cops deputized. I'm so mystified by how that happened. And as long as the Trump administration is in power, I think that we have to, you know, maintain our autonomy. But most, I think the most important thing here is that Trump not be reelected. So I encourage everyone who's listening to reach out to folks in other states and in our own state to make sure that Joe Biden is able to win the White House.
Let's move on to a topic that I think is top of mind for so many of us in Portland, houselessness. Even before the coronavirus pandemic started, houselessness was one of the most pressing issues in Portland. Now that issue is poised to grow even more due to the pandemic. Okay, Mingus, can you give us your thoughts about houselessness and how to solve it?
Oh, sure. One of the most pressing problems facing Portland. The first thing I want to say, especially at this moment, is that the most efficient way to end homelessness is to prevent people from losing their housing in the first place. That's why I support creating an emergency rental assistance fund until the COVID crisis has ended. I also think and will challenge the city of Portland to join with me in ending chronic homelessness here in Portland. We have about 4,000 people who sleep on the streets every night. I think every night, 365 days a year, if we come together as a community and take some of the resources that have come through some recently passed bonds, I think that we can house or at least offer housing to each and every one of them. And that housing needs to include not only a key to a door, but also a doctor's appointment. The other thing which I think is really important is that we actually get the police out of the business of being our primary outreach workers for houselessness issues. That's why I'm excited about expanding the street response teams and taking that program citywide.
That was an excerpt of the virtual debate between Chloe Udaly and Mingus Maps, who are both candidates for Portland City Commission Position 4. You can find the full video version of the debate on the KBOO Facebook page. Ballots for the November election were sent out on the 13th and should be arriving to Oregon voters soon. The last day to mail in ballots is October 28th, and the final day to drop off ballots is Election Day, November 3rd. You have been listening to KBOO News In Depth. For our moderator, Annette Newell, I'm Althea Billings.